You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As part of Global Climate Change Week, today marks the third strike by School Strike for Climate NZ to demand urgent and meaningful action on the climate crisis by the government and elected officials. This time, the students have invited the general population to join for what is expected to be their biggest event yet. The movement began in August last year with the actions of German student Greta Thunberg, and Fridays for Future climate strikes quickly gained international traction. Organisers of this week's past climate strikes estimate that some 4 million people turned up to 6,000 events held in more than 1,000 cities across 185 countries. The actions coincided with a climate action summit caused by the United Nations in New York on the 23rd of September, where Greta Thunberg gave a speech accusing the world leaders of stealing her childhood.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
New Zealand students have organised two previous strikes, one on the 15th of March and another on the 24th of May, each of which garnered tens of thousands of demonstrators. The most recent strike received criticism for alienating the Pacifica community after falling on the same day as Polyfest. National Coordinator of School Strike for Climate, Sophie Hanford, spoke to 95BFM journalist Sherry Zhang on Monday's Wire about how the organisation's demands have changed to collaborate with Pacifica voices on climate change.
The fifth demand, which we've added in the lead-up to the strike in collaboration with the Pacific Climate Warriors, is to ensure that New Zealand is doing everything in their power to limit warming to 1.5 degrees as an obligation to our Pacific neighbours who are already on the front lines of the impacts of climate change, and also further to that, developing a plan for climate survivors to migrate to New Zealand with dignity if and when that becomes necessary. So really making sure that we're supporting those Pacific Island neighbours and the obligation that we have as a developed country to be able to do more, because ultimately one of the biggest injustices with climate change is those who have done the least to cause this crisis are reaping the impact and are seeing the effects right now.
Sophie adds that the organisation's four previous demands of the New Zealand government remain the same. Those include, firstly, to declare a climate emergency, to cease fossil fuel exploration and extraction, to invest in a regenerative and renewable economy, and to pass a Zero Carbon Act that makes a legally enforceable plan to achieve net carbon zero by 2040 that references Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Since the two strikes earlier this year, we have seen Auckland Council join other local bodies in declaring a climate emergency, but there has still been no governmental declaration, despite the efforts of Green Party MP Chloe Swarbrick and the demonstrations by Ollie Langridge, who spent 100 consecutive days outside Parliament for the cause. Luke Weejohn, a Year 13 student at Western Springs and a school strike organiser, told BFM News yesterday that while Auckland Council declaring a climate emergency was a great move, they are by no means off the hook.
That was great, that climate emergency, and it was also great that they backed it up straight away by saying they were going to release their climate action framework, which was their plan to tackle emissions in Auckland. But the thing about that plan is, I've read it, I don't think many of the councillors have actually read it, and it's weak, it's slow, it's too little, it's too late. There's no actual parts of council that are accountable for doing any of these goals. Their most achievable parts don't have funding.
Striking students earlier this year were criticised by some as merely using an excuse to skip school, while other principals supported the cause. The intergenerational nature of today's action means many adults will also be required to leave work to attend. Around 90 New Zealand businesses have pledged their support by signing up to Not Business As Usual, a business alliance from New Zealand, Australia and the rest of the world. Meridian, Garage Project, the Cooperative Bank and Freedom Farms are just among some of those businesses showing their support for the strikes by allowing their workers to take an extended lunch break or by closing business for the entire day. Lincoln University was the first tertiary provider in New Zealand to support the strike by allowing its students the day off lectures to attend. Auckland University is the only university not to back the action. Vice-Chancellor Stuart McCutcheon says it would not be appropriate for the university to take a stance on such an issue when they represent such a diverse body of students with differing views. Despite this, the Auckland University Student Association's School Strike for Climate event on Facebook has over 500 people attending and another 1,000 interested. Strikes nationwide will be happening throughout the day, and the Auckland strike is currently taking place at Aotea Square, which started at midday.
Now I am joined with Bronnie Wild, who's down on Queen Street. Bronnie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, hello. How's it going so far?
It's good. It's intense. There are a lot of people here, and it's very difficult to, Aotea Square was packed.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. So I guess first question we'll start off with it being the intergenerational climate strike, what are you seeing in terms of demographic split down there?
Yeah, it's definitely still very much a young person's thing, but there are people from the older demographic here too. But on talking to them, I asked a lot of them, you know, were they here specifically because this one in comparison to the others is meant to be adults and grandparents and parents, and to be honest, a lot of them told me that they came to the other ones anyway.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, people who are passionate about the issue, any chance to strike, they'll be there. But what was interesting is seeing some parents bringing along their really young kids who aren't even in school yet, you know, who probably don't even know what's going on.
They're just walking around or looking
around
and also a
noting
little dazed.
Because I know that there was obviously the controversy around it being clashing with Pacifica Festival last time. Well, now, I mean, the Māori and Pacific demographic is very much represented at today's strike, and it's really cool to hear. I mean, there's chants going on, but there's also Waiata going on.
It's amazing. So with the strike, you're walking up to where the sea level will rise. What kind of businesses are you seeing getting affected by that?
Yeah, so I think I kind of heard you there, but the point that they're saying where the sea level is going to rise to is Quay Street.
Mm.
That's where everyone's walking to. So if you can imagine that in your mind, they're going to walk up to Quay Street and lie down and represent that.
Wow. That's intense. One of my favorite restaurants. Gone. So for the people you have spoken with down there, can you tell us a bit about why they're talking about attending? Can you hear me?
Sorry, could I get you to repeat that?
That's okay. So for the people you have spoken with at the protest, what have they said in terms of reasons they're attending?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been unanimous across the board from all ages that there just is an urgency to act now. And there have been some really good speeches happening. I know Pania Newton from Seoul, the group out of Ihu Matau, she came and spoke. There's another lady in between that, and then there was a young girl called Maya who spoke. I thought she did a great job. She's like the New Zealand Greta Thunberg. She was very emotive, but she made a really good reference to the Whakatauki Tamatū Tamaora Tamanoho Tamamate, which means he who or she who stands and takes action will be well, and he who sits idly and does nothing will be dead or unwell. So I thought that was a really appropriate use of that.
Yeah, that sounds super appropriate. And of course, with this, we're always seeing some interesting signs coming out. What have been your favorites so far?
Yes, so obviously being a young person protest, there are just some amazing signs. And all of my favorites are the ones that make references to memes. Like, I just saw one that made me laugh, which said, save the planet, haha, JK, unless. I don't know if you know that meme, but there's also a really cute one with these two little boys who are like 4 or 5 and they're holding signs saying, I want to live long enough to play Fortnite. So there you are. Everyone's got their own reasons.
Oh, all the memes coming out.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you think is important to say while you're out there striking?
I think just that it's immense. I'm going to go and get back amongst it. But I heard an estimate, I think it was, I don't know if it's 80 or 18,000 people, but I'm sure we'll get those numbers. But it's truly, it was physically difficult to walk up Queen Street today.
Wow, that is amazing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.